I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
We can't start crying like it's a Friday night and we're dickless and we're just looking into the bottom of our wine glasses and saying, girl, I should have stayed with Tony.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2. This week, I am joined by comedian, MasterChef finalist, and all-round lovely loose woman. It is Judy Love. Woo!
Woo! Oh, babes, that was a roundup. Do you know what I mean? I love it. A mama with stretch marks. You could have added that in there as well.
Oh, mate, I could have kept going. Those accolades of yours, they're just fucking piling up, aren't they, pet?
Oh, babes, bless you. We're trying to do a thing out here, aren't we? That's what we're doing.
And it is lovely to see, lass. Do you know what? I was talking to me producer this morning, and I says, yeah. Last time I seen Judy, she was sweating her tits off, stressed to death, carrying them plates on MasterChef, serving what up food. How did you find it?
I mean, honestly, like, for me, when they came to me, I was like, yeah, I can cook. I got this, man. I'm just going to give, like, John and Greg bear pepper and bun up their backside, right, with some Jamaican food. And then I was like, I've cooked for, like, family before, yeah. 10 of us, and, you know, West Indian food is so hard. And being a mum, you know, I cook in bulks. My God, Vicky, when I got on the set and they started to do challenges, like, you got to understand, from a West Indian culture... We don't measure shit, okay? Ask a black person, how do you make curry go? And they're like, dash a bit of this, dash a bit of that, dash a bit of this. Taste as you go along. So when I got in there and they were like, oh, Judy, we need the measurements of how much ingredients. I was like, I don't know. So I had that pressure. I didn't even know the measurements and the math sides of all of that. I didn't know about grams and millimeters and all of those. It was so out of my comfort zone.
Oh,
and then there was one day my foot was killing me. I mean, we were standing up for about 10 hours. It's a real ordeal. I'm very happy to have done it, but trust me, the edits that they've done makes it look like, oh, it's fast paced, but it's not that hard. It's hard work. Okay.
Mate, I can't agree with you enough. Like, obviously, I didn't approach it from the same angle. Like, I was a total novice, Judy. So I'd basically never been in the kitchen before. And, like, if I had...
No.
Yeah, mate, like, the only time I ever cooked was when I was at uni. So it was, like, student chefing.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Survival food, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, mate. Like, if it come out of a tin or come out of a jar, I could do it. But, like, learning to do things from scratch totally blew my mind. And I just think, honestly... Nobody can understand the pressure you feel
proper.
When you're in there. Oh, mate.
Proper. And then it goes out the window. Like, when I first went, I was like, okay, you know, do a little mascara, do a little eyebrow. Do you know what I mean? Try to, you know, because you're going on TV. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, Vicky. You're going on TV. So it's like, you know, try and do a natural, simple, but still got my shit together.
Yeah,
look.
Yeah.
And then I saw myself on the third episode. That went out the window. The eyebrow and the sweat off. Okay, my hair. I saw someone in a Facebook comment, right? Mm-hmm. Some gal had put up, oh, the last time I saw Judy Love, she didn't even comb her hair. I was like, bitch, have you stood and cooked for how many people for 12 hours on national TV in a damn competition and you want to talk about my hair? I never see your hair on your profile. Don't mess me about. Don't upset me.
There's just so much more to worry about when you're in that situation. Like, I'm not a particularly vain person, but we're fucking women, Judy. We're all like to look nice, right? I have never cared less about what I look like. Like, honestly, even in the jungle, I was whacking in like a French plait and that, doing MasterChef? No, I decided to whack my head up, on my head in like a sort of bun. And in my head, I was giving off like Mulan vibes, like savior of China. Like I was strong and confident and didn't give a fuck. In reality, it was more like Mrs. Trunchbull. It was awful. It was awful.
But you still look cute, babes. You still look cute, don't
they? You're too kind, Judy, but you just don't give a fuck, do you? You're too concerned about the measurements and whether something's going to burn. And God, is my jus reducing at the right time?
And the thing is, John and Greg, they come at the wrong time to ask you, what are you doing? And you're looking at them like, do I look like I know what I'm doing? I'm just trying to get to the next stage, okay? You're going to ask me this. I'm in the middle of chopping. I don't even know what this is I'm chopping. What is this called? Yeah, you're giving me instruments to use. I don't even know what these instruments are. I don't do this at home. I've got the one knife I got from my mum and I've had it for 20 years. Don't piss me off.
I can't identify enough with you. Like, I relate so much to the whole experience, but somehow we managed to do quite well.
We did do quite well. And I think it's because, like, I think you're like me in the sense that we're quite determined people, you know. And when we put our passion into something, and when we're doing something with a passion, we just go. We just go 100% in. There's no other way to do it, really. I think when you're in it, you're in it. Sometimes it could be it's something bad. You've got to get out of it. Sometimes it's something good. It, you know, it's career or personal life. You just got to put that 100% passion in until you can start to, you know, float again and feel like you're catching a bit of air.
I think there's a saying, isn't there? And it's hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard.
And well, girl.
Honestly, Judy, I have applied it to so much of my life, being from like a reality TV background and everyone having kind of the preconceived notion that I'm entirely talentless, which it's fine.
I'm not saying you are, but I'm agreeing with what you're saying about reality TV, that definitely people be like, well, what's your talent? My talent is I did something and said something on TV, you watched it, the ratings went up, give me my damn check. That's what my talent is.
Yes, Judy, I will be saying that next time anyone asks, like word for word. But that's it, and it sets you in good stead, doesn't it? Like working hard and grafting, especially on a show like that. I think John and Greg appreciate the hustle, don't they? The journey.
They do appreciate the journey. I do feel like they delve into a little bit to try and find out what your personal connection is with food. My personal connection is I eat all emotions.
I fucking love it.
Okay. I love it. Yeah. So they did. They definitely, and it made me think a lot about my, you know, my mum and my, and culturally how food means to me. And just not even culturally, but as my culture as a working class woman born in Britain, but my heritage, my family are West Indian Jamaican. So all of that, the way that, you know, we'd have West Indian food and on days where money was tight, we'd have certain food. And then, you know, Fridays, seeing this big Jamaican woman, but Fridays was her fish and chips. I was like, Mum, yes. Like fish and chips. As she got older, she knew about a paella mash. And it was just so funny seeing my mum and her best friend, God rest her soul, going to Chingford to get their pie and mash. Do you understand what I mean? So it really made me think about the mix of being British and being West Indian, Jamaican, and how it's influenced, you know, my food. My food now, when I was younger, it was traditional of rice and peas, roast chicken, but a lot more flavour because it's like Jamaican, and then mac cheese, vegetables, your coleslaw, Guinness punch.
My mouth's watering, Judy.
Maybe a bit of fried chicken and oxtail. And now my Sunday dinner, because I'm a mix of both, is like Yorkshire pudding.
Good
lass. Jerk chicken.
Brilliant.
Macaroni cheese and broccoli. Right, and meat sauce. It's a bag of confusion, but it tastes good.
It's a hybrid of both your cultures. Yeah, and it's
lush.
You know
what, you're right. I take it back. It's not a confusion. It's a fusion, babes.
That's it, girl. And you know what? Like, it's what you like. It's what you enjoy. And they encourage you to cook that sort of way on MasterChef. And when we first got your food, like, I remember it was me, Greg and Dom from, Greg Rutherford, who won my series, and Dom from Steph and Dom. And we had a couple drinks, Judy, by the time we tasted yours.
So what are you trying to say, babe? Because you gave me such a good review. But what are you trying to say? Let's have a heart-to-heart beginning. What are you trying to say?
Listen, a drunk mouth speaks a sober person's thoughts, Judy. So you want to be proud, girl. I was fucking buzzing like an old fridge off your food. All of us were sitting around.
Because you had the chickens, didn't you? You had the curry chicken, the brown stew chicken, and the rice and stuff.
It was so, honestly, us three together, we didn't agree like unanimously on anything until your food come out. And then we're like, that's our winner right there. That's our winner right there. We were buzzing, Judy. It was so good. And you could tell it was stuff you'd grown up cooking and you were so familiar with the flavours. You just smashed it, lass. You really did.
Thank you. I didn't win though. Yeah. Anyone else listening? John and Greg, yeah. I didn't win though, previously.
You were fucking robbed. Robbed.
Well, you've heard it here live. I don't need to say it. Vicky said it. She tastes the food, okay?
But I was so blown away, mate. And really shocked you didn't win. Your excellent performance, but it is a tough gig, isn't it?
It is a tough gig. And I suppose coming in the semi-final with food that I love, food that is a representation of me, food that I love to share with everybody. To me, I won something. You know, I won by getting to that place and just being my authentic self. That's what we do, Vicky.
Yeah. And it's just such an achievement, isn't it? When you haven't come from a place of a professional cooking background or something you've been really passionate about, it is a big achievement because there's high standard on that show,
Proper. I mean, the plate in the food business is bad enough trying to cook the food, and now you're telling me to plate it up pretty? How am I supposed to do that?
When you're already stressed and your fingers are shaking and the back of your knees are sweating and they want you to arrange it like modern art, and you're just thinking, fuck off, if I get this on this plate, it's going to be a bloody miracle, John. Judy, you have mentioned before about your big family having a huge influence on you. You guys grew up in Hackney to Jamaican parents, is that right?
Yes, I was born in Hackney. I was an East London girl. I only lived in Hackney for, a few years. I did live on Pembury Estate, which was quite known, okay? And then moved out the ends and moved to Waltham Forest and grew up there with my mum as a single parent. My dad was around, you know, he was a Jehovah's Witness. He was around. He was a weekend dad or once a weekend, a month dad. Not bad. I was writing about this the other day because I think when I got to 30, maybe a bit later than 30, after my mum passed away, I started to think about the relationship I had with my dad. And you know, it's not until you're a little bit older, you're like, okay, what is this relationship? Yes, you're my dad, but if I needed something fixed, it's not going to be you that I asked to do it. One, you've gone back home to Jamaica. Do I actually see you as the man who would be walking me down the aisle? Have I had that emotional, relationship with you? Do I feel like you can protect me? And not because he wasn't or isn't a good person. I think there's just some generations, how they parent is so much different. I was writing about it the other day and I was saying that when I think about it, I don't ever remember misbehaving or coming home late from school or doing something bad report, and my mum says, right, that's it, I'm going to phone your dad. That was never a sentence. So it really made me think about the relationship, and I had to go on a journey of forgiveness and understanding, because I thought I don't want to be at this age and feel like maybe there's some kind of underlying daddy issues and so on. So he was always around, I don't have no bad memories, but whether he was emotionally present is something else. I think that's, you don't realize that until later, so maybe sometimes you have your own parents or you're in love or you've got that man around you that's made you think about it. So I grew up with them in East, and just my mum had me at a later age. She was 47, 48. And my dad
That's a brave move, Judy, that, isn't it? With all due respect, Judy, were you planned?
I wasn't planned. He was 53. I don't know about a brave move. That might have been a backshot move. That might have been that girl. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right. I think my mum thought she was going through the menopause, and they were like, no, girl, you're having a baby.
So, you are fertile as fuck, Belle.
All that Guinness punch, babes. It's all that Guinness punch. So It was, yeah, I definitely don't think I was planned, but I definitely, you know, my mum always said to me, God rest her soul, that, you know, it was a blessing. We call it in Jamaica, wash belly. In Jamaica, your last baby is your wash belly. So she was like, you're my wash belly, you're my wash belly. So, you know, I took that as a blessing. There was a reason. There's a reason for everything, isn't it? So, yeah.
Absolutely. Honestly, Judy, do you know, it's so interesting where you said there, like, it's not till you get older, you look at your parents. And I think when we're growing up, we just accept what we're told and we accept the relationship that feels the most natural. So, like, your mom tells you what to do, like, you are, you know what I mean? You're obedient, like, you respect them, but they're ultimately just your parents. Like, you're just your mom, they're just your dad. That's all you see them as. Mm. And it's only when you get older, you start to, like, examine the relationship like you did, sort of think, oh, you see your mum as a real person. Like, as I've got older, like, I've started to see her as more than just me mum, but actually as a woman herself.
Yes, you're so right.
You never do that when you're younger, do you?
You don't.
It's just your mum and dad.
I think going through my own life experiences, breakups, having kids, you start to, like you said, Vicky, I definitely started to look at my mum differently, in the sense of, like, wow, like, who she was as a person before me, before all the kids. And sometimes you even realize your parents didn't even get to explore who they were, maybe because they had children young, maybe they went through a really, like, serious relationship that didn't end well, and they just, their focus was just about you. I do feel like nowadays, as women, as people, that we have, it's much more acceptable to explore who you are and focus on who you are. We're not placed as much in a box. I think my parents' generation, I think my mum could have probably been a fantastic comedian or comical actress, but that was never something she thought about, or she used to make clothes as well. But her aim was feed the kids, make them get a good education, make sure they come home and I'm there. Where for us now, we can kind of be a bit more like, okay, I got this day job, but actually my desire is to be in entertainment. My desire is to do this, whether we got kids or not. Like, we can push past the so-called society narrative of the box that we're supposed to push it in, be in. And I think that's where I take my, almost like, I don't know if it's strength, or I take my, I never know what word to find it, but I go to that.
Does it drive you?
Yeah, it drives me. Because I think to myself, my mum must have sacrificed so much. And there's many women out there that probably sacrifice, and men, and non-gender, gender neutral people as well. And I think to myself, so that really, I've got a duty to step over these barriers and just try and live as happy as I can. As freely as I can, as my authentic self. Otherwise, what was the point of her having me at 48 and my dad think, like, I need to be able to tell that story and feel great about it and do something with that.
Like, I'm getting a bit fired up here, and you talk, Judy, like, you're so bang on. Like, we have opportunities and we have amazing things coming our way that just our mothers didn't have. And I do feel a bit of a responsibility to do things my way and take advantage of those opportunities. Like, me and my mum often joke, I'm 33 now, and like, I could have been married before. Like, I haven't been. And I says, you know what I feel like? All I've missed out on is not by not getting married now is just my first divorce.
It sounds like you're saying you knew, you know, that wasn't for you.
Yeah, like, I do think, like, some women are focusing on their careers longer or holding off on having kids or, like, prioritising things like travel and experience over that traditional role of being a mother really early doors, and I think that's exciting.
And to be honest with you, what is wrong with that? You know, I'm a single mum, and, you know, I date and things like that, but I feel like, you know, I would want my children to grow up and get to a stage where they're comfortable in themselves and they have their partners. However, I want them to grow up and be comfortable in their self and have their life experiences as individuals.
Exactly.
Because that in itself, all those experiences, gets you to a place to understand who you are. Then you can attract the right person. When I look back, Vicky, on certain relationships, I didn't even know who I was.
Yeah.
I didn't even know who I was yet. So the people I was attracting was not good for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So at the end of the day, you know, for some people, it is to get married at a certain age or to have children, or, you know, it's not that we're putting down anyone. What we're saying is it's okay to go down whatever avenue you want to go down, whether you want to take a break, whether you want to change careers, whether you want to have children, you know, whether even some people choosing to be single parents because they're at that stage of their life. It's okay for you to decide what you want for your life.
Oh, do you know, and as women, like, it's 2021, we can do that. We can take a stand, we can choose to put our careers first, we can choose to be mothers. Like, if all we've ever had is that burning desire to be that housewife, to be that mother, that is so okay. That's exciting. I just am so pleased we're finally in a place where we are all, it feels like we're able to choose what we want and do what we want and have these experiences and not be judged.
I think society is very aware of how powerful women are. I think society has a structure that runs hand in hand with control and fear at the same time, you know? Mm. And I think that there's been many people that might class themselves as activists or people that are just, we as individuals find inspiring, that has definitely helped to change the narrative. And now that people are understanding that, you know, women, if we focus on women, because it's me and you having a conversation, are contented in being that pioneer in their remit, in the stuff that they want to do, you know, setting up groups, setting up meetings, being entrepreneurs, traveling by themselves, really understanding who they are. I think now society is at a place where it's like, okay, there's some bad boss bitches out there, and whether we give them the space or not, they're gonna take the space.
They're gonna grow. They're gonna grow. We're not asking for it anymore, Judy. We're fucking taking it.
We're taking it back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Viva la Fanny.
Taking it for the team.
Yes, I'm so fired up. I always do these and end up wanting to go and like start a business and burn me bra and smash shit. Like, I just get so fired up whenever I talk to women like yourself. Oh, calm down, Vic.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
It sounds to me, Judy, you are such a strong woman. You've got so, your views are so powerful and you can articulate yourself brilliantly. Like, you've got to come from such a strong woman. Is that your mom?
I'd say my mom. And if I'm honest with you, babes, growing up, definitely there was the concentration on being a strong woman. And, you know, I always sometimes refer back to the black community or because it's my experience. So as a young, 20 black woman from Britain, you know, culturally there is a thing about being a strong black woman, you know, and I don't know whether that comes from just struggle or adversity or, you know, other parents just left their kids and come over. So there's this whole narrative, strong black woman, you get through it. And I went to uni and I did a dissertation on the myth of the strong black woman. And it really changed my mind on how I use the word strong, because I feel like for a lot of women, all women, sometimes the word strong can stop us from being vulnerable and stop us from getting the support that we need. You know,
it almost becomes a pride thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, like when I looked at the dissertation, if I break it down in ethnicities, for Caucasian women, if they're quite savvy in their like business, like top of the league business or doing well as an entrepreneur, they're not seen as maternal. They get this stereotype of being non-maternal.
We get pigeonholed.
Pigeonholed or being quite bitchy. If it's a black woman, she's aggressive. You know, there's a stereotype of how Asian women are supposed to be. And I think, so it really made me think about the word strong and how it's affected a lot of women, especially women in the black community, their mental health, their emotional mental health, because when things have happened, whether it's from sexual abuse, domestic violence, you know, stuff that's going on emotionally, they're not speaking out about it because I'm a strong woman.
Yeah, they feel. Yeah, to be resilient and stoic.
Oh,
and
that word, not,
it can be counterproductive, right?
Yes. Yeah, it can be counterproductive. And when I'm not saying, like, there's anything wrong with being strong, but know that they can be hand in hand. I can say to you, yeah, today, babes, yeah, I'm feeling good, let's do this. But I should feel okay to say to you next week and call you and say, babes, I don't feel good. Yeah. I'm just so tired and I'm struggling with the kids. Or, you know, that is being just as strong. And I think that's what we need to let people know. You're not weak by saying, babes, you know what? Could you come over and I just need to sleep for an hour, or, you know what, babes, could me and the kids, I just need to talk to you about something. That is being just as that is also should be highlighted as strong, not just holding everything in. So yes, I think my narrative to being strong has changed, but I accept it in the sense of, you know, I can be strong for people that need me. I can be strong in making a decision for me and my family as a single mum. You know, I can be strong when something, you know, adversity faces me. But I can also be strong enough to reach out and say,
yeah,
I need help. I'm tired. I'm not feeling too good either. And that's something that I really like to push for others as well.
It's such a beautiful point, Judy. Like, I think for years now, we have assumed that in order to be considered strong and like you have to be really stoic, really like really resilient, like not show emotion and all the rest of it. And gradually, in particular, this last year, I think there's been a huge breakthrough in the realization that showing vulnerabilities and asking for help and speaking out about loneliness, grief, loss, whatever you're struggling from, it doesn't actually make you weak. In fact, it's the polar opposite.
Yeah.
Being brave enough to talk about those issues, to open a really, really like powerful dialogue about stuff that is still considered taboo, that makes you strong and that makes you brave and that makes you powerful.
And that's what, you know, that's what I think a lot of us are doing. And I think when you do that, you can then question, is this the right job that I want to do? Is this the right relationship that I'm in for me? Is this the right place where I want to live? You know, I've made some decisions about, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. You know, I was brought up in East London, lived in East London, and I've always come back and forth to South, and I just like the green. You know, everywhere in London's got their, not the green as in the smoke in the green, I mean like the green trees, the trees, and everywhere in London.
Anyway, I believe you packed thousands wouldn't, but I believe
everywhere in London has their problems, but I very much felt like, oh, I feel like this is where I want to go to. And I put my head down to move, to be able to get moved to South London. And no real family here, no real friends. I've got them now, but I felt like this is what I want for me and my family. And it was Maya Angelou, one of her books where she talks about she just grabbed her and her babies and left and put them on her hip. And I did the same thing. I took my two kids, I put them on my hip and I left. I was living in a flat where there was people coming in doing drugs, selling drugs, vandalism, all kind of stuff. And I faced things where when I was complaining, no one wasn't listening to me. My voice, I didn't feel like my voice was heard. And in that moment, I had to do what I had to do to be able to provide and bring a different life to my kids. And that meant getting up on my own, picking up my two babies, putting one on each hip, and coming out of there. And that was the best choice for me. And I think if I wasn't vulnerable enough to say I'm not happy, I would have never done that and I would still be there.
It's just, it is seen as a weakness and it just absolutely shouldn't be, because it can motivate so much in you. Like the times in my life when I've shown my vulnerability, right, is it's just before something amazing's happened. Like when I share it on Instagram, when I say, like, even something small, Judy, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm really struggling with lockdown, or like, yeah, I'm really scared about, I'll miss my family. Even if it's a small stuff, like the minute you reach out, you put that out there, you encourage this dialogue where people tell you the same things. And you know what's really, it's really lovely, that feeling when you don't feel alone, when you know there's other people going through the same thing. And I know, like, since being on Loose Women, you've been sharing some of your experiences. I bet you get a lot of people reaching out and telling you they've been through similar things.
Yeah, I do. I randomly get people message me, and, you know, my previous work was in social care. So, and I, you know, I qualified in social work and did specialise in mental health. So I think that, I love to communicate with people. I love for people to feel strong enough to speak their truth. And I get a lot of people will message me, you know, private message when I can. It's so hard now to get back, you know. And I had a show on Facebook a couple of years ago called Real Talk, and people would always send me their dilemmas. And now I've got one called Quarantine Date Night. And although it's dating, I mean, the stuff that people come up and tell me in front of, you know, thousands, or message me after, it's like, it's fun and it's jokes, but at the same time, it's heartwarming that people feel safe enough with me. That's what is nice, that they feel safe enough to share this. And no matter what it is they're going to say, obviously, as long as it's not bringing harm to anyone, but they're talking about their own personal journey, sometimes people just need that. So the fact that they can do that, and we can listen and we can learn and be educated and loving and hearing what they're saying, it's a beautiful, beautiful experience.
Judy, I could listen to you chat all day, and honestly, I will. I definitely will. But I'm gonna give everyone a bit of a break. Will you join me back in part two?
Yeah, of course, girl. What do you mean? You better mind there's not a part 3, 4, and 5 at this rate.
Oh, Vicky Patterson and Judy Loves The Secret too. We're doing a co-host vibe, dear mate. It's sticking. It's gonna stick.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.